to the kingdom. Please be blessed as you listen.
Crisis situation right now because our families have been disintegrated. The statistics, no statistic I've heard sounds good for us, right? So here we go. 70% of our women are single. So you line up 10 black women, 10 average black women, 7 of them will be single. 73% of our children are born into single parent, usually fatherless homes. Now that is atrocious, what's going on in our community. Out of that group, there's a large margin of those children that grow up in those homes that end up either in the system, incarcerated, on drugs, and then with children out of wedlock themselves before they're 18. And so we talk about all of the solutions about what's going to help our people. And when we get a black president, that's going to help us, okay? We look around, not much has changed on the local level for us. A lot of stuff still going on. And so what's going to really help it? And we talk about it all the time in our church. The answer is Jesus Christ. Answer is the gospel. And it's very simple. We were at a college. I had to speak 2 weeks ago. The state of the black men address. We have 4 guys up there, a lot smarter than me. Some people call them eggheads and doctors and so forth. And they were talking very eloquent, quoting all of these different philosophers and W.E.B. Du Bois and Malcolm X and all of that. And when they got to me, what's the problem? I said, we need Jesus. We need to go back to the gospel. We need to go back to what God's word has taught. And it's very simple. God's word is truth. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says of itself in Psalm 19 that even the heavens declare the truth of God. All of nature declares it. The word of God is truth. And so we've got to establish that there is no other way than the way of the word. And what has happened in the church is that we have allowed, here's one of those egghead words, secular humanism to come in. And all secular means is to leave God out. That's all it means, is to take God out. We can do it without God. Humanism is the we are the world idea. We are the world. We are the children. If the world's going to be a better place, we got to do it. If we come together, we can do it. If we put our heads together, we can do it. Same thing they said at the Tower of Babel. We can come together. We can find a better way. We can come together in agreement. We don't have to use God. Leaving God out, that's what secular means. Right. And so we've tried all of these different ways and methods to get by in life, and it's a shame that many of us in the African-American community have begun to adopt this same stuff. Things that we had never seen before. This woman that drives her car into the water to drown our children. Black people didn't do that. Black mothers, we never heard of this kind of stuff. Right now, in education, when you see our little black boys, I'm going to tell you, they are the softest group in the school system. He knows. The most emotional. Elementary kids. The kids is going to be crying all the time. Black boys. Most effeminate, black boys. Most likely to dye their hair a different color, like red or blue, black boys. It's a problem. in our schools. The lesbian epidemic and bisexuality epidemic amongst our girls is out of control. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Why? What solution? We left God. And I got friends, you know, they'll argue about whether we should have integrated or not integrated. When we integrated, we learned their ways and all that stuff. And the Bible clearly said, it said to the people of Moses, he said, when you go in there, do not learn their ways. Right. And y'all know when we do it better, don't we? Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Boy, they shouldn't have let us in the football because we did it better. Let us in the basketball. We did it better. Baseball, we did it better. Somebody went into tennis, we did it better. Let Tiger Woods in the golf, though he don't claim us, we did it better. I claim him. Right? So even in the bad stuff, I say often, when white folks catch a cold, black folks catch the flu. We do it worse. So that's where we are. These are the facts. Now, here's a couple other things I'm going to tell you. There is, when you look at statistics and demographics, and I know I'm talking about, you know, I'm going to get down to some nitty gritty in a minute, but the replacement, the fertility for replacement rate for women to sustain their culture is 2.2 babies per woman. All right. Thank you, sir. Within our culture, married couples, black people produce 0.6 children. If it were not for the out-of-wedlock births, we'd have been annihilated a long time ago. With the out-of-wedlock births, we're at 1.8. Still not reproducing ourselves. We did this conference last in New York. I was there, and you know, I come out against abortion, number one, because it's wrong. The Bible says it. But number two, it is wiping our people out. Listen to this. When we were in New York City a few years ago, the statistic came out in the New York Post that the year before, there were more black babies aborted than born. This is by design, y'all. You got to get our new truth documentary called Forbidden America, because we talk about all this stuff and all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So there's a lot of stuff while we shouting and dancing, high-fiving our neighbor, or that's in church, outside the church, backing it up, bringing it on the alcohol and all that stuff, grooving the Tom Joyner morning show. All this stuff is happening underneath. So when we talk about marriage, I get real passionate. Because marriage is the answer to reverse all this stuff that's going on. We just did a conference, a single conference, and the title of our conference, sister, was Marriage Is Not For Me. So most of you, I know that's right. Marriage is not for you primarily. First of all, it's to bring glory to God in the earth.
My Lord.
Second of all, is to reproduce righteousness in the earth. Can you imagine? If all the righteous Christian people stop having babies, then who's left to have babies? Bone Thug and Harmony out there. LaQueef and them. These folk coming up in our school don't even know if they're a man or a woman. So God placed Christians in the earth to reproduce after our kind. Everything he created, he wanted them to reproduce after their kind. So how are we going to get more righteousness in the earth? We got to get married, keep our families intact, raise our children right. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We losing the battle. We losing. We losing. And so we talked about all of this, okay? I want you to go to the scripture right quick, all right? And I think this is going to set the tone for us. This is going to set the tone. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. Sound like I'm in the house. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. I want you to look at this scripture. Because this is the reason why we, and let me tell you, black folk, we got to fight for marriage. We got to promote marriage. You just got married, brother? You're going to have to fight for your marriage. Because when you get married, you automatically get an enemy. Now, there are folks that are what's called social engineers. They don't want you married in the first place. Oh. I meet a lot of young people that say, man, if we get married, then she going to have to immediately start paying her student loan back. So it's better for us to live together until she get out. I mean, it's all kind of elements. It's more lucrative for a black woman not to get married and move the baby daddy in, because she's going to get all these social services. She's going to get all these money. She's going to get all these food stamps. She's going to get Section 8. She's going to get free housing. Then she get married. That junk can't produce. She getting less than that. I can do bad all by myself. Right. So now the system is paying our people to stay unmarried. Does everybody get this?
All right.
So I don't know what y'all think I came to hear tonight, but we're going to deal with some real deal stuff. All right. Look at this. Nehemiah 4:14. And I look and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. This is what we're doing when we stay married. I'm telling you right now. We are actually in a fight.
Yeah.
What are we fighting for?
Right.
You fighting for your brothers.
Hello.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to connect the dots for you in a minute. You're fighting for your daughters. My God. Mm-hmm. My God. Brother, when you leave your home and your daughter's there, your daughter going to be praying, man. We don't even know the stat on how many stepfathers molest their stepdaughters. Because the biological daddy left. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there to protect his own daughter.
Milo, you own it, doctor.
Is this too real?
Yes,
is this too real? Am
no,
I?
No. Yeah, he's wrong with it.
Okay. Because it ain't going to get no better than this right now, I'm telling you. Why do I fight to stay in my house, brother? Because I don't want no other man raising my kids. When you go over to Deuteronomy 28, it calls that a curse.
That's it. That's the word.
When the curse comes, another man shall raise your children. Mm-hmm. That's not a blessing. That's a curse.
Right.
So we got a lot of cursed people walking around here.
Come on, man.
Talking about I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm still the daddy to my kids. How your daddy? You're not even in there. You don't even know what's going on. Wow. You don't know what they doing with your child support. She getting child support to the next pimp that came up in there laying up on them. And your kids still ain't got stuff. I deal with so many dudes right now, man. Say, man, I'm sending this chick $400 a month, and my kids still asking me for tennis shoes because they ain't got no clothes.
That's right.
And he can't do nothing. You can't do nothing.
Those ain't.
But this is the breakdown. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on in our homes. Mm-hmm. Wonder why? Mm. Wonder why? Because we learn the ways of the enemy.
Right. Secular.
Secular. Right. Start leaving God out of stuff. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. My question to you tonight. What would you say is the biggest enemy to marriage right now? I want y'all talking back to me. Just hands, show of hands. What do you think? Your opinion?
Finances.
Anybody else?
Man back there.
Oh, he wanted mine. He already heard all my stuff. Anybody else? Biggest problem in marriage? Alcohol. Biggest problem, biggest enemy to marriage? Huh? What'd you say? Friends. I like that one.
Outside
influences.
Unable to communicate.
Lack of identity.
Lack of identity. Compromise. Anybody else?
Need to work together.
Anybody else?
Don't be scared, y'all.
We can't. Anybody else? You think anything else?
Children.
Outside children. Inside children.
Children's children.
Careers.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. I done heard about 15 things.
Yeah. Attitudes.
Attitude. Huh? Thank you. Nope. Survey says. Number one answer. See, it's funny how we skate around that.
Yeah. Don't want to touch it.
It's funny. It's funny we can't think of that one. That's number one. That's number one. Because you know what? We can work through communication problems. Mm-hmm. We can work on them children. We can work on finances, get another job or whatever we got to do to get your finances straight. And some of those are deal breakers when people don't want to change. But man, you get a third person in that marriage. You get a third person in that household.
That's what God said.
Say that again?
God
What God has joined together, become one flesh. Let no man come between that or woman.
Yeah.
We ain't got no problem with that in the black community, huh?
Number one. I'm calling my
friend. And then we play with it, and then we laugh at it, we flirt with it. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight, okay? So this is one of the enemies we're going to talk about tonight. This is the enemy we're going to talk about tonight. This is what's going on in our community, going on in the church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say keep it real, real.
Keep it real, real.
I'm going to keep it real tonight.
Keep it real, Pastor.
I told you it wasn't going to get no better.
Right, keep it real, in the church.
If you need to leave, go on, leave now. It ain't going to get no better. And I'm not apologizing for it because I know what's going on. I've been in the church all my life. I don't even remember the first time I went to church. I don't remember it. Been in church ever since I can remember.
My Lord. That's it.
So I know what's going on. Been married in the church for 22 years. So let's go here. Let's go here. Let's go here. So when we're fighting for our marriage, one of the main things we got to fight for is the fidelity in our marriage. Number one, we fight for communication and all that. Bottom line, the man ain't going to ever talk like the woman wanting to talk. And sometimes the woman going to talk more than the man wanting to talk. This is, we've made different. We have different personalities. You know, the man going to tell, you know, what happened. She want to talk. She talking like Celie. You know, me and my wife said, you remember Celie from Color Purple? She going to tell you the whole thing and, you know, all that. You just want to know what happened real quick. So it's always going to be a tension in marriage. Why? Because men and women are different. And secular humanists are trying to tell us that we should be the same. Your husband not going to be your girlfriend. A real man, most men ain't going to want to do your toenails and all that stuff. And I want to talk about all this stuff you want to go buy. So this is how it is. You need a girlfriend for that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God's bored with that stuff. But I know Oprah and all them who ain't married, don't convince everybody that men got to be like women. No, God made us a certain way, right? Just like men don't expect their wife to really get enthralled about football and sports. We just know y'all not made that way. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So there's always going to be some little communication glitches and all of these things, all these other things that we talked about. But y'all, one thing that does not ever have to happen is that there's another person come inside your marriage.
Right.
And y'all, that's a deal breaker even with God. God didn't say you can get out of marriage from communication problem. He didn't say you can leave somebody for money problem. He didn't say you can leave somebody because his kids was getting on your nerve. But he said if somebody let a third person coming in there, that's a deal breaker. Even Jesus said it, so we know it's important. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So tonight we're going to talk about how to affair-proof your marriage. Is that okay? Now, here's the thing. Some of y'all have already affair-proofed your marriage, but guess what you can do with this? You can evangelize other married couples. That's why I put these people who just got married up on the front row. Because they need to know this stuff.
Right.
And we see newly married people doing dumb stuff all the time. That's going to get them in trouble. And sometimes you got to speak up and help them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Give them some good advice instead of some of that dumb, stupid stuff that they're hearing other folk tell them already. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then guess what else we can do? Single folk that's thinking about getting married, we can tell them up front from Jump Street what it's going to take to be married and stay married. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Ain't nobody talking about no getting married, talking about some oops. Ooh, what'd I do? Yeah, you got married.
That's what you did. Can I have you say, now you got them on your hands, what you going to do with them? What you going to do with them now? Right. So you need to understand coming into this from Jump Street what it's going to be. And I can understand some of these young people going, I don't know if I want that, right? I don't know. That's some serious stuff, right? It's serious. Even the disciples asked Jesus, said, well, man, we can't put a woman away from anywhere. Well, what? Golly, that's hard saying.
That's right, hard.
So how can we get out of it? He said, sexual immorality. Right. Say, except for that, you in that thing.
Right.
Jesus told him.
Life-changing.
All right, so here we go. Hebrews 13:4. Let's go there quick. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 13:4. So we're fighting. When we affair proof our marriage, brother, you need a Bible? Somebody get this man a Bible. He need a Bible. When you affair proof your marriage, because I need these first marriage, your married people to know. When you affair proof your marriage, you are fighting for your children. You know, yes, sir, hold on. You know, the other woman and well, Tom Jonah called him the side piece of the man and all that. You know, they never think about all the people they hurting. Man, I've seen adultery just, it's like an atomic bomb.
Right. Blow up.
I've seen it hurt children, tear up churches, destroy businesses, destroy entire families.
Yeah.
Because somebody couldn't control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the damage is, you can't even measure it. You know, when they dropped the atomic bomb, you can't measure all the reaction to that. How many people got exposed? How many people got, you can't measure it. And then, even on down the line, the exposure to the radiation, even some people that got a little exposed to it, they have trouble for the rest of their life on down the line. Things come up and happen. Let's go. Hebrews 13:4. Okay.
Y'all heard this Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Did y'all hear that one? Okay, so in the NLT it says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Now, we got to understand this, that we're not going to make a god or a demon out of adultery. Adultery is a tool of the enemy. Mm-hmm. There are people that have rebounded from adultery. Right. Marriages that have survived adultery. We know some. We thank God for them. But you got to understand, when you get married, and I've heard this, some of y'all have probably heard this too. Folks have lived together for 10, 15 years. Everything was hunky-dory. All of a sudden, they get married. Now, on one hand, they tell us the marriage license is just a piece of paper. It don't mean nothing.
Come on.
But why is it after 10, 15 years of living together, they just get this piece of paper, and all Hades and hell break loose in their home? Because they got married. Anybody know?
Because they think they own them now.
That might be part of it. Who changes?
Men change.
Men change? Really? I don't know too many men to be changing that much. After 10 years, you already living with them? You living with them for 10 years, and then you just get a piece back, you get married. So you done seen a lot. Why?
I ain't living with my 10 years.
Because you made a commitment. Because you made anybody else take a stab at it. What? Somebody said, I know who's that. He might know. Anybody else?
They become, they
become common with one another. They take each other for granted.
Common with one another, take each other for granted. Now watch this. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 12. I'm going to answer from this place. When you see God, you got to understand. Marriage, the only thing that God said resembled Jesus' relationship with the church was marriage. Right. Y'all know that?
That's right. The bride adorned for her
husband. The only thing that the world has to look at visibly that represents the invisible relationship between Christ and the church is marriage.
Right.
I need you to raise your thinking about marriage. Because somebody, I can hear somebody, it's like low level. I need you to raise your spiritual thinking about marriage. Because what happens when you get married, you get an enemy. Right. See, when you was living together, when people was living together, they were the enemy of the devil.
That's right.
They were doing his will.
That's right.
There was no covenant with God.
Hello.
It was secular. They left God out. We could do this without God. We don't need a preacher telling us that we're married, that we commit. We already committed to one another and all of this. But as soon as they see, when you get married, you got to have a representative. That representative represents God.
Right.
I'm licensed in the state. He's licensed. These other guys licensed. When we stand, we represent God joining two people together. And the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. God recognizes. So don't just talk about it's a piece of paper. No, it's more than a piece of paper. God recognizes it in heaven. And so does the devil. So now you've got this enemy that's fighting you. See, he don't want you. Because, see, if he can destroy this, he can destroy the image of Christ in the church. Y'all following this? This is what he's after. He wants no remnant. He wants no visual. He wants nothing that's going to remind people of Christ's relationship with the church. That's why he's trying to do everything he can to extract the name of Christ, God, out of everything. So now there's another generation that's growing up, according to Judges, that didn't even know the Lord, don't even know who Jesus is, never even heard of him.
Break it up.
He wants nothing left that looks like Christ in the church. So raise your idea about your marriage. Your marriage represents on earth heaven. And the reason why you're having problems and the reason why you feel like you're under attack a lot of times because you are under attack. Let's read that scripture. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All these unseen things that are coming against you.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's just the man. Or you think it's just her.
Mm-hmm.
Or she, oh man, she just hormonal. Or whatever going on. Or he just tripping.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a greater enemy than that.
The
guy Tim LaHaye wrote Left Behind. He tells this story and I often repeat it. He tells this story about he was on a plane one time, headed somewhere. Y'all know, well, back in the old days, they used to feed you on the plane. They don't stop.
Yeah.
You gotta pay for the man. I done paid all this money for this plane. Give me some chips and a drink for free. He'd be like, oh, that'd be $5. Like, I got slick. Stop at Walmart on the way. You have my little tote bag on there. But he was saying he was on his way somewhere and they were feeding dinner. And so there was a guy sitting next to him. He said, no, I won't have any. I'm fasting. Well, this guy, he's a Christian. Christian preacher, Christian pastor. So he thought, he said, man, right? I must be sitting next to another Christian. So he struck up a conversation. He said, well, hey, you're fasting. He said, what are you fasting for? He said, we worship Satan. Say, every Tuesday,
yeah,
We fast and pray against Christian marriages.
What you say?
Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't know about that, see?
Look out, Doc. Come on here.
Yeah. Yeah, witches and evil people are praying against you.
My Lord, it's real.
And he changed, huh? It's more than that.
That's right.
You got a real enemy.
That's right.
So, yeah, we pray against pastors. That's why you should cover your pastors, your leaders. We pray against pastors and the leaders of the church and their families and their marriages.
My Lord.
Say, what? Yeah, you got a bigger enemy than your spouse.
Talk.
Because you represent more than what flesh and blood is on this earth.
That's right.
When you get married, you represent the relationship between Christ and his church.
Right.
It's the only time. You look in the Bible. That's the only thing he used.
Right.
To show the representation between Christ and the church. And he didn't say it was like. He said, this is the model.
Right. My Lord.
A man with his wife, the same as Christ with the church.
And the church, right.
And he told a man to love his wife like Christ loved the church.
Right.
Gave himself for it. All right. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. I've seen adultery. How to affair proof your marriage. I've seen adultery. I've seen it do some devastating things. I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and where Jim Baker was. Jim Baker was. How many of y'all remember him? Jim Turner Baker. My dad worked for him. I was there. I actually got saved. Watching Jim Baker, Jim and Tammy Baker. That's how I got saved, watching Christian television. And after I got saved, they sent me a Bible for free, no money. I was a little boy, I was 6 years old, called in. Said, I just got saved. They sent me a Bible. They sent me all kind of materials so I could grow in Christ. And my dad used to work for them. And I saw how they came from very small beginnings. And they got this great big Christian network, and people started getting saved all over the world. Wondered if they was going to have an enemy. Who you think was going to rise up? The devil.
The devil's right. Always.
And what do you think he used to bring that whole empire down? Man, let me tell you something. At one time, they built this place called Heritage USA there. It was a Christian amusement park. Some of y'all remember that?
Sir.
I went there several times. I was there. And I saw it. Had a model of the upper room. You could go in there and pray 24 hours a day. They had the first Christian hotel. There were more people visiting Heritage USA than was going to Disney World every year. Y'all know the devil hated that, right? What did he use to bring that whole thing down?
Adultery.
A woman. Adultery. Adultery. I was there. I saw it. And so the devil planted this woman. The woman brought him down, and then she got a reward. Immediately after that, $1 million from Playboy was offered to her to model, and she did it. So the enemy is always at work. When you play with adultery, you're playing with a spiritual nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Now, let's say tonight I was actually going to do it too. I said, no, that might get people too excited. And I'm walking around. I got this gas can over here. And I got a lot over here. I'm just playing.
Right.
Bro, look, I'm just talking about it. He's serious. I'm walking around looking. What's up, y'all? Gas can. Making my life.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody laughing, ain't huh?
No.
You ain't laughing, bro?
No.
Bro, be don't push me back. Get up on my face.
Hey.
That ain't no joke.
Nope.
We could all be laughing and playing. Here I go with the lighter. And look, gas.
Yeah.
Go like that. Huh? That gets serious real quick, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we play around with adultery. Look at Proverbs 6:27. Proverbs 6:27. We fighting y'all for the family, man. And this stuff is killing. I'm going to bring it home in a second and just show y'all some of the crazy stuff that's going on. But look at Proverbs 6:27. Say, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes and not be burned? Can one go upon the hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent.
That's right.
Now, see, y'all get serious if I got gasoline in the lot and flicking the matches and stuff. Ain't nobody going to laugh. But we wink and laugh at adultery. So here's the first way to fail-proof your marriage. Number one, feel the same way God feels about it. Adultery. God is serious. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. I got to hurry on. Write it down. Get there as fast as you can. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen to what it says. Be not deceived. So tell me somebody's going to be deceived. And somebody's going to be walking around deceiving folk. I'm a Christian, but how many of y'all ever heard that? I'm a Christian, but I steal. How many of y'all ever heard that?
Yeah, got that.
I'm a Christian, but ain't nothing wrong with a little. How many of y'all ever heard that? Come on, let me hear you. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all done said it. I hope not. Paul says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminates. Abusers of themselves and mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, covetous, drunkenness, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. That ends the whole Christian homosexual debate right there.
Right.
Christian adultery debate.
Right.
Christian fornicator debate.
That's it.
Told y'all I was coming for the single. Well, I don't know if I want to get married. I always ask singles this. Not trying to put nobody on the spot. You don't know if you want to get married. That means you don't know if you want to have sex for the rest of your life. See, we laugh. What are you talking about, man? Now, I didn't say that. You got a Bible, bro? I want you to see this. Y'all, you open your Bible up, bro. You believe the Bible?
Yeah.
All right, then. I know. I want you to see this. It say, be not deceived.
Right.
Neither fornicators. How you going to get into heaven fornicating and you're not married? How can we do that? Can we do that? It's quiet. Can we do it? I don't write the Bible, y'all. See, your Bible is being told it out.